We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
So the Tuesday, you can vote in the NFL Pro Bowl right now.
NFL.com.
You can vote online. So a couple of Patriots representing right now, currently number one, or at least leading the votes for their areas. J.C. Jackson.
Yeah, not surprised there.
58,166 votes. Yeah. David Andrews.
Not surprised there either.
And Joe Cardona.
It's just, I don't know what that is about.
So others, Patriots that are.
How do you gauge that?
The other guys that are voting, those guys lead the category. So others in the top 10.
Wait, hold on. Joe Cardona leads the category of all. Can you name another long snapper other than Joe Cardona?
No.
Can anybody? Nobody can name him.
Lonnie Paxton.
Yeah, somebody who is currently playing on a team. No.
DeAussie's kid.
He's not even in the league anymore.
Okay, there you go. So other notable Pats in the top 10 of their respective positions. Devin McCourty is number 8. Judon's number 2. So he's there. Jakob Johnson is 7th. Nick Folk is number 2. Shaq Mason 9th. Bailey is 4th. Damian Harris 10th. Hunter Henry 9th. And Matthew Slater is 6th. Sort of missing
Matthew
somebody
Slater
there.
Matthew Slater is 6th.
Yeah.
Oh, let me see. Who are you missing?
Top 10.
Hmm.
Not even
Wait, guys,
top 10.
There are 6 other fullbacks in the NFL?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Mac Jones ain't in the top 10.
I know.
I mean, Spaz has got him the
He's
MVP
going.
Of the year.
Yeah, listen, Mac plays Mahomes. In the Pro Bowl. If he doesn't make the Super Bowl, because no one goes, right?
So
you know how quarterbacks drop
wrong.
Out,
well,
Mac will be there.
This is true, but it's just you vote for 6 quarterbacks? And it's not necessarily like, do they split these teams up still anymore? I get so confused. Like, sometimes, don't they pick teams? So, but it's just 6 quarterbacks. So, you can pick 5 NFC quarterbacks and 1 AFC quarterback.
Yeah, they used to, I don't even know what they do anymore because I can't remember. I don't even think they had the Pro Bowl last year.
What did they do when you made the Pro Bowl?
Probably should have looked
that up. Nothing, because I was in Hawaii anyways, kicking it.
So, here's your top 10 in the NFL quarterback rating, as far as Pro Bowl, rather. Tom Brady's number 1.
Not a surprise.
Matthew Stafford is number 2. How many more weeks did I get to vote? I think if you watch him for a few more weeks, I don't know if he drops out.
I'm not surprised by that. He's in a bigger market, a lot more attention,
well, listen, the
good
first
record.
8 weeks have been outstanding for him, right? The last 2, he's crapped
Not surprised by that.
Josh Allen, 3.
Okay.
Lamar, 4.
Well, wait, that should surprise you, though, Christian. You're not a Josh Allen guy.
No, I said, no. I put him at 3.
Pro Bowl's different.
I said, no. We're talking about trusting and who you take over the other guy.
Yeah, Lamar
and
Jackson.
Eventually I said, fine. The first 3 are Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and
Dak Prescott. Yeah. Kyler Murray's 6. Mahomes is 7. Herbert is 8. Rodgers is 9. And Joe Burrow is 10. He's not there. So, yeah, you talk
Rodgers
about Super Bowls.
Is 9?
Rodgers
Herbert's
is 9.
In front of Rodgers?
Yes. Mahomes is 7, dude. Yeah, I get the year he's
Wait,
having.
This is just fan voting, though. This is not
yes, fan
This
voting.
Is not team and coaches.
So that surprises you that Mahomes isn't higher than that in fan voting?
I would think that fan voting would, they would give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, fan voting to me is like more of a popularity type of thing. You know what I mean? Yeah, Mahomes ain't playing great, but still he's number 2, number 1.
I'm not surprised by Mac Jones.
Not in the top 10.
I'm not surprised. Wait, didn't he have like the number 1 selling jersey though?
Yes.
He did. Is weird. So for a time there, he had the number 1 selling jersey in the NFL. And yet now you're telling me that with a winning record and a starting quarterback, suddenly the fans have dropped him?
That's the top 10. We don't know where he is because they just kind of revealed the top 10. And it's 5. Actually, turns out to be 5 in the AFC, 5 in the NFC. So he's not top 5, in the AFC.
So this is based on your stats, your popularity, your record, and what you did, and your reputation. Because I would say, of course, Justin Herbert, everybody knows, every fan knows, you know, last year's rookie of the year, you know, had a great, unbelievable season, lots of touchdowns, barely any interceptions. So I can easily, and they got a winning record. And he's also in LA.
So Judon, he's considered an outside linebacker, correct?
Yeah, I don't know what they actually have him listed at. But sure.
That would be my guess. Okay. T.J. Watt and Hassan Reddick, who we just saw in Carolina.
I know.
Who, you know, both those guys, I think, lead the league with, what, 12.5? And I think Judon's, what, 10.5 now in that area? So both those guys have more sacks, and therefore, you know, they're the top two outside linebackers. Yeah. I think that's where he slots.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that either.
Kind of hurts your all-pro selection.
No, it's not over yet.
Defensive
no,
player
I
of the
said,
year selection.
I said he's his
although T.J. Watt's hurt, right?
His ceiling, best-case scenario, like, ultimate dream wish would be player of the year. And for the record, Rodney Harrison kind of co-signed on this over on Twitter over the weekend.
I missed that.
If you saw that, no. A lot of people retweeted and actually gave me credit for saying it first.
I don't think I saw
it. So it's defensive player of the year or is a first team all pro. Pro Bowl is nothing. He's made the Pro Bowl before. Who cares about the freaking Pro Bowl? You want to be a you want to be an all pro. That's what you want.
One of the top defenses in the whole country.
In the whole country.
So two of these top 10 will be in the Super Bowl, right? That won't play in the Pro Bowl. Is there a chance Mac Jones can make it outside? Tyler's been going on this for like a week now. He believes that Mac Jones could be a Pro Bowl quarterback.
I do. I think if they go like, what, 12-5, 11-6, the Patriots are going to be one of the top seeds led by a rookie. That never happens. He will get all the credit for it. Mahomes will drop out because he's playing in the, you know, the championship game, the Super Bowl, whatever. But I'm not saying he's one of the top three quarterbacks right now, but I would not be shocked at all if Mac Jones is named an alternate and actually goes to Vegas to play in the Pro Bowl.
Is that just because you've seen Blake Bortles actually go to a Pro Bowl, so you think anything is possible?
Yeah,
it's true, too.
It was Blake Bortles, Tyrod Taylor, and Derek Carr was one Pro Bowl team in 2016.
See, I think in order for him to get there, not only is there going to be, obviously, a quarterback going to the Super Bowl, but there's going to be guys bowing out. You know, like Brady would always bow out.
So that doesn't really count, though, in my book.
Do you get cash for that?
Yes. For winning, yes.
Because I look at the AFC right now, as far as fan voting goes, looks like Josh Allen is the highest fan-voted AFC quarterback. So Allen, Jackson, Mahomes, Herbert, and Burrow. So he's got to be number four. Got to be number four, right? Because one of those guys go to the Super Bowl, and he sort of slides in as that third quarterback. Right now, he's at least sixth.
No, he's not even in the mix. And I would say he doesn't have the stats. He doesn't have the, you know, he doesn't have the flash that a lot of people are looking for right now. I mean, you hear him, you listen to him, you see him play. There's nothing sexy about Mac Jones. Zero sex appeal. Zero.
Wait, but wouldn't it be missionary ratings? It's
definitely lights off. T-shirt on, what?
Wouldn't it be good if we don't make it to the Super Bowl? It would be good for the Pro Bowl to have Mac Jones because of
Why?
New England fans.
Why?
Because of the ratings.
Are you kidding me right now?
If I worked for the NFL, I would demand that. I would say, yeah, Mac Jones is playing because we need New England fans that is probably the second biggest fan base outside of Dallas in the country, as Mac Jones would say.
Yeah, I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that.
You don't think New England, if his jersey is a number one seller, I
would
say
New
England.
What you need to do now is check and see if it's still the number one seller, because it was for a time. I doubt it is still, but I would still say that no. But what the league really wants is New England, Tampa in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
If they have one wish, they're not going to use it on, hey, let's make sure Mac Jones is in the Pro Bowl.
See, the thing is, like, Mac Jones has got a good shot, obviously, rookie of the year. And the success of this team is probably going to start making him the favorite at some point.
Yeah.
But the other stuff is still about numbers. You know what I mean? It's still about numbers. It's like, you know, MVP is like the best quarterback on the best team, you know, with numbers. And the same thing with Pro Bowl. It's still about the numbers. So you could even look at guys, and I don't know where the hell Derek Carr is these days, or, you know what I mean, or Herbert, Burrow, these guys, the numbers are just better. They don't make you a Pro Bowl quarterback because your team was good. You know what I mean? That's not why you're an all-star.
You guys mentioned the top jersey sellers. The last full month we have, of course, is October. Tom Brady, number one, which I don't know who's still buying Tom Brady jerseys.
Tom Brady, New England Patriots jerseys.
Got to get Tampa jerseys.
That's true. Dak Prescott, two. Josh Allen, Christian's boy, at number three. CeeDee Lamb is number four, which is shocking to me. Now, non-quarterback. Number five, Patrick Mahomes, and Mac Jones is number six.
Wow.
That's good. Ahead of Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and Aaron Rodgers.
That is still amazing. So there's still hope for him. So let's say, the voting is probably going to close, the last week, probably the second last week of the season, right? It'll probably close the second last week of the season. So the first week of January is when it will, at the end of that week, it'll close.
Yeah, and I know this is not like the end-all, be-all, but like you look at quarterback rating, like he is, what, I think seventh in quarterback rating? Joe Burrow has the highest quarterback rating in the AFC. You know, and then you got Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, he's the second highest rating. Herbert, Wentz, Allen, Carr, Mac Jones.
Yeah, but
tied with Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, but we also just played
Lamar
that whole...
Lamar Jackson's below them.
Okay, so if you think that Brady dealt with that whole stigma of being a Patriot quarterback and then giving all the praise and success and the reasons for your success to build the defense and everything else, like the same thing's going to happen to Mac.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that will follow him in, especially maybe not as much in the fan voting, but definitely player voting.
Yeah.
Coach voting.
When you look at QBR, he's actually eighth or ninth. You know, Herbert's number one at QBR. So I don't know where they go with it. But still, Pro Bowl, I just don't see it happening. I think there's going to be multiple injuries for him to slide in there. And then we'll look at him and say, sixth guy. What do you
the
got
to do? The way it works, this is why I really hate, I guess I don't hate it as much. So you're saying, so when it comes to the Pro Bowl, they have all the quarterbacks, and you don't pick three from the AFC, three from the NFC.
Just pick six.
You just pick six.
Yeah.
So you can pick six NFC quarterbacks.
If you want. Yeah, six most popular quarterbacks.
That seems weird.
All right, speaking of that, we got Rodney Harrison at 4:30. I want to dive in a little bit because the Hall of Fame vote for the NFL came out, and they have all the list of guys, the semifinalists, whatever they want, whatever they call it at this stage, and then they limit to the next group. Last year, Rodney Harrison was on that list. This year, he is not. He was taking off the list, not even in consideration. We'll talk about that next, as well as talk to Rodney Harrison at 4:30 about it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
That's coming up next.
Totally different guy. Totally different guy. Thank God I checked.
We got Hall of Fame talk. I know Kristen loves it, but it's not the BBWAA.
No, it isn't.
No, this is the NFL. This is the NFL. This is like the best players in the country.
So Darren Woodson is not a rapist.
Yes, no. We're going with some of the names.
Important to clear that up.
Yes the rapist. Important. The rapist is Sharper, right?
Darren Sharper.
Correct?
Monster. Yes.
Yes.
Wow. The fact that you have the same.
Because I was going through the list during the break, and I'm like looking at the safeties on here. Darren Woodson. He's like, he's never gonna. He's a rapist. I'm like.
No, different guy.
Different guy.
This Darren Woodson, the guy, this guy that's on the
right, still on ESPN.
Yeah. So the NFL has announced its 26 finalists for the Hall of Fame. Now, what they'll do, they'll vote, and then in January, they reveal the 15 finalists. So it goes from 26 to 15, which I don't understand why 15, maybe not 12, 10. I have no idea, but it goes from 26 to 15. Now, the one thing is, interesting thing is, in our guest here in about 12 minutes, Rodney Harrison, last year was one of the 26 semifinalists.
Yeah.
This year, he's off the list.
Why is he suddenly, they go back and check their math and realize that he shouldn't be a finalist anymore?
So there were seven new first-year semifinalists, seven players. And obviously, somebody or whatever, they bumped him off. I'm sure he's not the only one.
This is the same issue I have. So the same problem.
So there's seven semifinalists. The new guys are eligible this year that are part of the finalists are Anquan Boldin, Andre Johnson, your boy Steve Smith, wide receiver kick returner Devin Hester, D lineman Robert Mathis, Vince Wilfork, and outside linebacker DeMarcus Ware. So you got Vince Wilfork's on here. Richard Seymour's on here. So, you know, again, Rodney gets taken off. I would ask you just real quick about Rodney Harrison. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Most definitely. This is really one of the biggest snubs in sports when it comes to Steve Atwater. Was just recently a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
John Lynch
yeah.
is a Hall of Famer. Ed Reed is now a Hall of Famer.
These are the guys you played against.
I played
all
against
these guys.
Yes, and that's why I feel like I look at the Hall of Fame with the NFL the same way you look. You talk about Barry Bonds. I saw this guy. I witnessed it. There's nobody better than him. Not only did I play against all these guys, but I also played against Rodney Harrison twice a year, 7 years in a row. Twice a freaking year, I had to go up against that crazy guy, that monster.
Did he cover you a lot?
Every now and then. You know, it depends on what was going on. But the point is, you're watching film. You're watching him play against other tight ends. You're seeing him against Gonzalez and all. So you're watching him, and you're identifying it. And then you're watching, and you're getting ready for John Lynch, and you're getting ready for Steve Atwater, and then you start comparing them. Who's better? Then you play against and go, oh, my God, I could knock Troy Polamalu. There's another one. Forgot about Troy Polamalu. Is another one. I played against Troy Polamalu.
Ed Reed.
So I sit there and I go,
champ.
I just don't understand how he is being so disrespected in this category. So if Troy Polamalu can be a Pro Bowler and Rodney Harrison isn't, then there shouldn't be a Pro Bowl. There shouldn't be one. Because I know that the fact that the day Rodney Harrison retired, he was a Hall of Famer the day he retired. So now you wait. Now you put him in the top 26. Now he's not even in the top 26.
Now you take him out.
So what happened? So that's why my point is that you have 3 months to decide whether a guy is a Hall of Famer or not. After that, he doesn't get another chance. He doesn't get a change of circumstances. Because when all these guys keep coming back and forth, he'll just keep being pushed down the rung. Every year, a new guy
who had
a better career than him, even though as his position, he's a Hall of Famer.
I don't know like the careers and the numbers compared to like some of the baseball guys, right? But I just like when I think of Anquan Boldin, I think tough wide receiver with Larry Fitz, and in the playoffs, it fit his style, and he was good in the playoffs. But he's not a Hall of Famer. Like he's not Randy Moss. You know what I mean? He's not Marvin Harrison. Like, you know what I mean? He's not St. Andre Johnson, Steve Smith, very good wide receivers. Are they Hall of Famers to you? Those three wide receivers, the new semifinalists?
See, Smith, I would have to think about. He was really freaking good. He was really freaking good. But the guy that I think is also being disrespected like no other, and it's amazing, is Tony Boselli.
Yes.
Like, how is Tony Boselli not a Hall of Famer by now? Every single year they pass over him. Every single year.
Give me some. You got the list in front of you.
Yeah.
Right? There's 26 guys. I'm not going to go through all of them. Obviously, Seymour, Wilfork. I mean, there's guys like Reggie Wayne, DeMarcus Ware, Hines Ward, some of these guys. Fred Taylor.
See, here's
Zach
the other
Collins.
Thing.
You tell me. Give me four or five, right? Because that's probably what ends up going in.
So Seymour will end up making it.
Well, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. I'm just going off the guys that Tony Boselli.
Yes.
Definite Hall of Famer. Eddie George, probably a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And I think Sam Mills used to be the linebacker for the Carolina Panthers. I got that right. He'll probably be like a sentimental favorite because he passed away. I mean, I feel like guys like that are, you know, Ricky Waters, no, played with him too. Vince Wilfork, I do not think will make it. Bryant Young maybe has a chance. But no, right now, the ones that stand out to me the most, Richard Seymour and Tony Boselli. And really, that's where it should end, because the other ones I have to think about.
Yeah, that's old school. When you start saying, if so-and-so's in, then I got to put this guy in, I don't think you think they're a Hall of Famer. I think it's based on, like, history of guys that you don't even believe should be in.
Yeah, like Zach Thomas. I think Zach Thomas is a really good inside linebacker.
All these guys are
He's
great
not a
players.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
all He's these not guys. A Hall of Famer. But Rodney instantly made a difference on any team that he played. You always knew where he was. I think he's going to be a victim of circumstance, ultimately, in the end, based on the fact that he plays for the Patriots, that all these other guys will get in. And also because, think about this, Steve Atwater, John Lynch, Ed Reed, and Troy Polamalu, all strong safety / free safety type guys. In the box, similar position guys like Rodney Harrison. They're not letting any more in. Rodney Harrison is a better strong safety than John Lynch. I don't want to piss anybody off. He's better than John Lynch. I never feared John Lynch ever in my life. Good player.
Can we get John Lynch on the show?
Good player. Now? He's a good player. I don't care. I mean, what do I have to be ashamed to say it to his face? Like, listen, dude, I'm sorry. I don't think you're one of the best to ever do it in the history of the NFL. Well, like, I don't know what to tell you.
Let me ask you. So when you see a guy like Vince Wilfork, do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
No.
Does, like, 5-time Pro Bowl, 1 All-Pro, 2-time Super Bowl champ? Like, do we start factoring in some of the Super Bowl champ things?
I know for me, actually,
he didn't really play all that much, correct? If I remember correctly.
I don't remember either.
Rookie year.
I don't remember anything today. All I know is that it's the same. You should use the same mentality,
you say
philosophy.
The name,
you say it. If it goes yes, then that's it. Mm-hmm. If you got to go, I don't know, really, then he probably isn't. But you also can't compare every Hall of Famer to, you know, Jerry Rice or, you know, Joe Montana, you know, Brett Favre, like the best to ever do it in their position. Tony Gonzalez, easy Hall of Famer. Jason Witten, will he be a Hall of Famer? Probably. His numbers are the same, or if not better, than Tony Gonzalez. Gronk, Hall of Famer. Easy. Yeah. I might need to think about it. Rodney Harrison, I don't know what it is, and we'll ask him. And I'm sure he'll just want nothing to do with it because, you know, when he feels like he's being disrespected, I mean, that's just a whole nother thing. Well, you know, it's like being 14-2.
14-2. Nobody thought we could be here. All you doubters were 14-2.
I do wonder, though, if he – because did you see what Scott Pioli tweeted out?
No.
Scott Pioli was tweeting out all of Rodney's numbers, and he's the first guy to do this and the first guy to do that. And so he's politicking for him, but he doesn't have a vote. Ron Burgess has a vote.
Burgess. All right, listen. What's that?
I was going to say, so did Mike Vrabel today. He said that Rodney Harrison, I played with him. That's a damn good Hall of Fame football player right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll talk to that damn good Hall of Fame football player. That's next. Rodney Harrison joins Maloney and Fourier next. Oh, Anita Baker.
You know what time that is.
It's 4:30 on a Wednesday. I know what that means.
We only play it once a week.
That means it's time to let's talk to Rodney Harrison, who's brought to you by Zuti. Build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zuti.com for details by Shaw's. Perfecting the art of fresh and by New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. And joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline is the man himself, Rodney Harrison. Rodney, how you doing, man? Lou and Christian.
Hey, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Yes, sir.
You too, sir. Listen, Rodney, I was watching Man in the Arena last night, episode 2, and you played a big role in that. Obviously, 2002, 2003. I was curious because I just love going back and kind of, you know, reliving that, like the whole Lawyer Malloy chaos. And I was talking to Christian about it. He said, "Nah, I didn't have a problem with it. You know, maybe more of a defensive thing." But did you ever feel any of your defensive brothers at the time? You were new. Were they upset at you? Did they look at you and say, "You're the reason why this guy we played with for so long is now no longer with us"?
No, absolutely not. I mean, when you saw my work ethic and when you saw that when I came in, it was just about the team and playing hard and working hard and just playing aggressive. It didn't have anything to do with anything like that. It was just I just wanted to play and just contribute and be part of a team. And those guys, they pretty much accepted me. You know, at first they thought I was a jerk because I was hitting everybody, but it was just me, a little insecure coming from San Diego and just wanting to, you know, let those guys know that, hey, I can play. And all that time, trust me, I had no idea that they were going to release Lawyer Malloy. I mean, he was making about $4 million. I was trying to get paid, trying to get a check. I wasn't worried about what he was doing. So it was just one of those situations where when I came in, I thought Lawyer was going to play right side safety. I was going to play left side like he talked about,
yeah,
and that we were going to get it on. But then once he got cut, hey, man, it stunned me just as much as it stunned anybody because nobody had more respect for Lawyer Malloy than I had.
Yeah, I thought it was. I remember the day clear as a bell, really, to be honest with you. And I also want to, like, the very first week, so he gets cut, and that week we play Buffalo in Buffalo.
Smoked.
Yeah.
It's 31-0. It was just, it's almost like we gave up the game out of spite. It was weird. It was weird. But do you remember Lawyer coming into that locker room, like before the game?
I don't remember that. All I remember, the thing that really, really ticked me off is when Tom Jackson talked about us hating our coach. And it was just so far from the truth. But when he said that, I thought it actually brought us closer together. And then I think we went and played Philly and then some, I think, you know, and we went on and I think we were 14-2 or whatever and had a lot of success. But, hey, man, it was powerful, you know, and it wasn't really about me. It was, you know, just about the team, man. That's what it's always about.
Because we're talking to Rodney Harrison. Rodney, we were just talking about during the break when you were bringing up the whole, like, you know, the Troy Brown and kind of hitting him. Christian was bringing up, what was going on with David Givens? Was that it? Like a big kid trying to kind of prove himself that he kind of, did you know, I was a little bit in practice?
No, I was telling him, Rodney.
Can I be honest? I be honest with you guys? Like, those were my teammates, but I didn't like my teammates. Like, when we practice, when we're competing against each other, I don't care if it's David Givens or Deion Brandt. I didn't like none of them. Tom Brady, Antoine, I didn't like any of them. So it didn't matter. Like, you was going to get my best. I don't care who you were. And David Givens was a tough guy. He was, you know, he's one of those guys, hardworking guy, a guy that I really had a lot of respect and I admired. But, yeah, you know, you try to test guys and see kind of their toughness and, you know, what they can withstand. And David was as tough as they came.
No, it's funny. Yeah, because that's basically what I was telling him, Rondi. I thought it was because David was his rookie year. He got hurt and didn't play. And I remember he was just being challenged on a daily basis in the offensive meetings. And a lot of it came down to blocking you. Like, how we would handle you, would he turn down your effort? Like, it was almost like, you know, a coming out party with him and identifying to the coaches that, listen, he was tough enough to play in the league. And if you remember that year, he actually was included in a lot of the plays. It's almost like he got through camp and they started trusting him because he was willing to kind of, you know, have the same mentality that you had.
Yeah, and, you know, he was a big, strong kid, and the only thing that he was really missing was I think he just needed that assurance from the coach that they trusted him, that they believed in him. And like you talked about, Christian, once they started, you know, implementing him into the offensive game plan, he started really gaining his confidence. And then before you know it, this dude is catching touchdowns in the Super Bowl, flexing in playoff games, and I'm like,
I think you had a lot to do with that. It was funny, Rodney Yuko, because we're – you know, I don't think anybody is better qualified to judge your career than me.
Ooh. Really?
How about that?
All right, I'll tell you why. Okay, I'll tell you why. Because I played against you for 7 straight years, twice a year.
Yeah.
We were on the same team for, 3 years? So I have 11 years of experience on Rodney Harrison. You know, and I mentioned this, Rodney, only because just to compliment you on your career and the utter disrespect that I think is being thrown your way when it comes to the Hall of Fame. Now, I know you won't care about it, but Lou and I were just having this discussion, and I was like, listen, I played against John Lynch. I played against Steve Atwater. I played against Troy Polamalu. I played against Ed Reed. I played against all these guys. And I don't understand how they could leave a guy like you off this list. Like, I honest to God, it irritates me, Rodney, based on what I consider myself having a true indication of who of these guys were the best. Like, and your name being off the list, I think, just bugs me. And I feel like I'm just venting to you right now.
Well, I mean, just imagine some of the things that have gone across my mind, you know, selfishly speaking, looking at the guys that, you know, that they chose in front of me and saying, are you kidding me? You know, like, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, and I've said this before, and I know a whole bunch of Hall of Famers, but I'm never trading in my Super Bowl rings for a Hall of Fame jacket. And my, you know, the simple fact that you're a former teammate of mine and a guy that's a friend, that you respect me, the fact that you respect me so many years later, that's what means something to me. You know, the Hall of Fame, I can't control. I went out there, did the best I could with what God gave me. At the end of the day, I can't control the rest. That's up to somebody else. So.
We were just talking about it because that semifinal list that you were on last year, you know, isn't on now. And then Tom Brady tweeted out the original edger in most certainly time, Pro Football Hall of Fame. This from Mike Vrabel. He said he should get in. Great teammate, great player. Learned a lot from Rodney. I'm not sure how the voting goes, but one of the best players I play with will always cherish the time I played, you know, with Rodney. And I know a lot of people kind of read peace afterwards. Like, listen, I know my career. I know what I've done. You know, but it is about, you know, respecting that career to me. Like, you know, we put that red jacket on, man. I know that meant something to you.
And, yeah, and but that, you know what? It meant something. You know what? It really meant something to me because those people, okay, the ones that were there and cheering me on and watching at home, those people know. They know that we put our life on the line, Christian. They know how hard we went out there and the sacrifices that we made. They saw it firsthand. So they knew it. So it felt good receiving that red jacket in front of the fans, the people that have supported us so much through thick and thin, through tough times, through cold weather, hot weather. Just, you know, just having that support, man, it was huge. So I really appreciate that. And like I said before, man, I appreciate the kind words and all that. But at the end of the day, you know, I would love to be a Hall of Famer, you know, for legacy for my kids and my family and things like that. But, you know, I know what I did on the football field, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, you know, I want you to explain what Tom Brady called you. He's called you the original edger. Can you explain what that is?
Well, you know, I came in, and, you know, one of the things that was my signature thing was, you know, a lot of guys pull hamstrings, and I always talk about hydrating with a gallon of water. So I always brought my gallon of water around, and I would look at Willie and say, huh, still not hydrating, huh, Willie? So then Willie started drinking a whole bunch of water, and Richard and Teddy, and then before you know, we had the entire defense, and, you know, just doing that, and then you walk in the weight room at 6:15 in the morning, and then Willie look at me and say, good afternoon, and he'll be there at 5:45 a.m., and it was just one of those things. We kept pushing each other, you know, hey, guys, come, let's watch some tape. Let's go in the weight room, just pushing each other and just trying to become great, and that's what those guys
get
did.
That edge. And get that edge.
And get that edge. That's the most important thing, baby.
By the way, sometimes that edge, I don't know, you tell me, maybe sometimes manufactured, whatever it took to motivate you. We were listening to that, you coming out after that 31-0 win against Buffalo, and you said, yeah, that's for all the people that doubted us. You were 14-2, right?
Dude, and they still talk smack. They still doubt, the Patriots, they're too old. They got too many old players. They can't run. Oh, they got Christian Forio. He can't catch a touchdown in the end zone. We got to use Vrabel. You know, they say all this stuff.
I've never heard that point.
Let me say this. Christian, I got to give it to you, bro. Let me tell you something. You were a royal. See, people didn't realize, like, Christian was a bad dude out in Seattle. Like, he was so quick, and he used to run such precise routes. I used to hate guarding you out in Seattle because you used to get in and out your breaks so fast. That's one thing I always want to tell you. I never got a chance to tell you, though, Christian.
No, you're the best, and I appreciate it. Finally a compliment. No, it was funny because, you know, speaking of Mike Vrabel, you know, obviously – you know, the big thing with him is, okay, when did you see it coming? Like, when did you see, like, Mike Vrabel? Did you say, wow, this guy is going to be a coach someday? And did you ever want to be a coach in the NFL?
Okay, Mike Vrabel, as far as the coaching, dude, I really honestly thought we had a defense made of coaches. Like, Willie could be a heck of a coach. Mike could be a heck of a coach. Mike was always just super smart, bright, always asking questions, always in your face, always got something to say. He's Mr. Know-it-all, but he was smart. Willie was the same way. Brewski, Seymour. The one thing that we did, man, we shared all our wealth as far as our information. We communicated. We took time. We talked about it. We watched film together, man. Like, those dudes are so special. And, like, their mindset, their mental toughness is just on a different level, man. And that's why I learned so much from you guys being around pros, like seeing you, Christian, come to work every single day, working hard on your routes, bringing Ben Watson, working with him and those young tight ends and stuff like that. That's what football is about. And that's what makes the Patriots great, because they bring in great people you know, to help bring, you know, everybody else around. Yeah. It's awesome.
And, you know, Mike isn't exactly like off that Belichick tree, right? Coaching tree. He never coached underneath him. But we were saying it seems like one of the reasons why he's had so much success is because he's so many other coaches try to be Bill somewhere else. And he doesn't need to be. It's like himself. This is his personality, who he is.
Mike is a dog. Let me tell you, bro, I was just watching some clips off the Super Bowl. Man, Mike is a dog. Mike was a heck of a football player. Like, you know, I mean, he never went around bragging anything like that. And I think people kind of overlooked him. But Mike was a heck of a football player. He was really good, smart, dependable. And you know, when you got down in the trenches in those most critical moments, you can trust Mike. I love him.
So the part I wanted to hear from you, so was coaching ever in your plan when you retired, or was it straight to TV?
No, let me tell you what happened with me. I was hurt, and NBC asked, you know, somehow I got with NBC and ended up getting the opportunity to work the Super Bowl. But after that, I had the Falcons talking to me. Even when I was hurt, the Falcons offered me a contract, and they was going to guarantee me 8 figures. And I'm like, you going to guarantee me 8 figures? I ain't never had no $10, $12, $13 million guaranteed. And I'm 30-something years old. I'm coming off a major injury, and I had an offer on the table for television, and I had a lot of money on for football. And my wife looks at me, and she says, well, if you go back out there, you're going to probably need all that money, you know, because, you know, between the concussions and all the injuries, you know, that's up to you. And I was like, forget that. I'm going into television. And the money was a lot less at that point in time, and, of course, it built up over time. But I went there, man, and you know, and Sam Flood, the guy from NBC that hired me, just said, if you put that same work ethic that you put into football into television, you're going to be really good. And 13 years later, I'm still around.
Rodney, it was funny because I remember watching you the first time you were out in the field. It was a Super Bowl that you were on the field and you were demonstrating some sort of coverage. And Chris Collinsworth was the guinea pig, and he was the receiver. Do you remember the forearm shiver you threw at him as you guys were walking through? I remember him. He was, I feel like he was trying to be polite because it was live on TV, but he was like really hurt and I think a little agitated because he had no idea you were going to shake him so bad.
Christian,
do you remember that?
That's amazing that you actually remember that. But the funny thing is, like, I love Chris Collinsworth. I think he's the best. But you hear so many people, I hate Chris Collinsworth. He's this, he's that. So really, when I jammed him, I just jammed him for all the people that didn't like him.
I thought it was so funny.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Laughing out loud.
that's fantastic. Like the story you told last night about knocking off your teammate's helmet, and Bill actually saw that. So that was great. Listen, I'd ask you about the Pats game, but we're good. We'll talk to you next week about the Pats. This was more fun going back to some of those old times. So we appreciate you, man.
Doubt.
And you're a Hall of Famer with us. So good luck.
Thank you so much, guys, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your families. God bless
you. You too. All right, Rodney Harrison.
Listen, that was I actually could have done that for another hour.
So Collinsworth, I forgot that.
Do you remember that?
Do the live thing with the guys at the wide receiver, right? He's like, okay, I cover you, and he just, after he caught, he popped him.
he was like, so Chris was like, you know, just kind of jogging, doing an out route, and Rodney's demonstrating the coverage and how it's going to be picked up, and he's playing at the corner of the safety, and he runs up, and this is how you going to do it, and he runs up to him and just like pops him, and he's like, what? Dude, what the hell are you doing? I remember laughing because when he said it, he was like, yeah, I just did it just to kind of, you know, to do it. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly who he is. And that's why it was funny, because he was still in character.
No, it was, I tell you what, I enjoyed it. You know, I wasn't sure if I was going to enjoy, like, Man in the Arena, right? We kept saying when it started, like, what are they going to do? Are they going to tell me something I don't know? But there's something about sort of just reliving some of the details. That's all. Well, even like Rodney, I thought was fascinating because a lot of it had to do with him, who he was before he came, why he's here, the attitude he was set after that 2002 team, why it was important to bring him in. He had one clip at San Diego where he's sitting on the bench and he's talking about how, like, man, that dude just popped me in the face. He just punched me in the jaw. And then he just paused and he's like, I kind of liked it. You know, like he's just a psycho, like out in the football field, tough son of a bitch.
You know, the one thing I wanted to bring up earlier that I'm glad we have this opportunity to bring it up again, because you kind of mentioned it a little bit. You're like, listen, man, you're 14-2 and you're talking about nobody believes in us.
Well, they still didn't.
All the people that doubt us.
Yeah, I was like, oh, wait a second.
We're now 14-2. That's all you people that doubted us.
Yeah.
all you people that doubt us.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm not really sure who those people
were,
but whatever.
At that point, it was, what, 10 in a row? Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was 12 in a row.
Yeah.
Because you started off 2-2, right?
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah, we started off 2-2. So the funny thing is, so and then earlier in that Manning Arena, Brady was talking about just you know, avoiding the noise, and like that's what we do. We just avoid the noise. It was he was referencing how people viewed Peyton Manning as opposed to him. When he's successful, it's because of Bill, it's because of the defense, it's because of the system and the structure. Like he never got credit for it. And you say, well, you know, we just avoid the noise. I think all these former players have it wrong. It's not avoid the noise because everyone embraces the noise. They use the noise.
Say, how can we use the noise?
Yeah, how do you use the noise? So, because every single person was aware of everything, single thing that was said about them, the team, the teammate, or the game. Bill used it. Bill would show it. We would get these pamphlets of these of all these articles. You know, same thing you would do at any school, but everybody used it the right way. So you never heard anybody bitch and complain publicly. Like only when we won, you would sit there and say, "I told you so, I told you so." Like, so to me, the whole avoid the noise is this: you're close, but you're not 100% right. Every single person uses the noise to their advantage.
Is it just the rat poison that you avoid? Like as Nick Saban said, we asked Mac Jones about it, like the positive stuff. You guys are great. Like you have to ignore that. Well, but when it's negative, you got to use it.
Well, I think it's both. So he mentions it as rat poison. People are patting you on the back, telling you how good you are. Well, that's to me, that's like, listen, you got to be humble, stay hungry, one game at a time, that whole thing. But the avoid the noise thing is every single team, and even the last three Super Bowl teams, you're too old, we're too slow, you know, you're a has-been.
Like Poirier can't run.
No, don't throw the ball. Like, no, it's not the way it is. They hope you do something like that. That's why we have the horn. We got one horn.
Yeah.
Because, great, thank God, it's going to be easier this week.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. And I don't know if you've seen it or not yet, but episode two, it kind of dives into Brady coming off of 0-1, winning a Super Bowl, thinking it's just going to be easy, like we're going to win a Super Bowl every year. And obviously, like you said, everything that went wrong sort of did that year. And then the following year, Rodney Harrison, Lawyer Malloy, and obviously the Super Bowl. So it was, I thought it was well done. I thought the whole thing was well done, you know, and I enjoyed it. I don't know how many episodes are there going to be of this thing.
They're going to probably 10. They're going to go through all the way to the end. I'm assuming, you know, they're probably
the 10
go
Super Bowl appearances by Brady.
Yeah. I think the 07 year will be an interesting porn. One. 07 one would be good.
I love it. It's like, man, it's like when they're talking about people who make comments and people who have an opinion, like, you know, analyst. You know, they're not the men in the arena. How would they know?
So let me ask you, because this was amazing to me that it actually got through that locker room when what's his name? Tom Jackson.
Yeah.
Came out and said, let me tell you something. They hate their coach. Like they went right to like some players in that locker room. Brady in that locker room said it sort of sent shockwaves a little bit. Rodney says it kind of brought you closer together. Do you remember hearing Tom Jackson, NFL Countdown, him saying they hate their coach?
No, I 100% do, and maybe hate's too strong a word. Listen, I was unaffected by it. I had only been there a year. I wasn't really close with Lawyer. Like, we were teammates, but we never hung out and went out and did whatever. You know, that and I didn't go through that Super Bowl run like all those guys did last year, so there wasn't this really, you know. And then we didn't even make the playoffs the year first year
Real
there.
Quick, this is what Tom Jackson said after the trade of Lawyer Malloy, and you lost 31-0.
What kind of locker room do they have now in New England?
I want to say this very clearly. They hate their coach, and their season could be over depending on how quickly they can get over this emotional devastation they suffered because of Lawyer Malloy.
I didn't believe that.
They were all, there was a lot of guys that were pissed. Let me say this clearly. There was a lot of guys that were pissed. A lot of guys that were pissed and angry. Now, I don't think they were, I don't know if they hated Bill. I didn't hate Bill. Like, again, I was like, all right. On to Buffalo. I was actually the first person to say it.
But people in your locker room heard that comment. How much was it talked about that following? Man, did you hear Tom Jackson last night? Did you hear what he said? That's about Bill.
A little bit, but I do think we were too preoccupied with dealing with the here and now that I don't think anyone really recognized like that was like.
Do you remember
weren't affected by it?
Having that like brought us closer together, as Ronnie just said.
Not that day because
Rodney would use
that.
Oh, you hate my coach? Oh, you think you hate my? Now I love my coach because you told me I hate my coach. I love my. I can see him just.
I think it took a while we ended up being the last game that team lost was a road game to the Washington football team. Back then they were called the Washington Redskins, and we lost. We lost to that team. It was embarrassing. They were terrible. And we did, and I remember walking off the field and then going, we suck. Like, what the hell? Like, I know we're better than this. I know we're better than this. And then we ended up losing another game to the very next year. So I don't think it happened overnight. I think it took a while. And I mentioned to him about, so Lawyer came into our locker room game day. So we're showing, it's a 1 o'clock game. We had just seen him 4 days ago.
Plain clothes?
Yeah.
Or was like, it like in uni? Like close
he
to-
may have had his, he may have had his, he may have had his, pants? His pants on, but he comes in and he's dapping everybody up. Hey man, what's up? And I talked to him like, I'm like, wait a second. I'm supposed to like keyhole you. I'm
what
supposed
Bill
to like completely
in?
Like.
What would Bill walk in? And he's like,
I don't
you,
know
do
how
do
he got
in
the locker room. He shouldn't have been in the locker room. That my personal opinion is that when he rolled into the locker room, that kind of
rattled everybody
a little bit. We did not play a good game. I mean, but I definitely was like, man, this is weird. Like it just the whole day was just weird and odd.
Like it's to the point where I just like as far as reliving it, like I forgot that it was just released. Like from I thought he actually was traded to Buffalo.
They just cut
him. He said they just cut him. This guy was a four-time Pro Bowler. And they just cut him? He didn't trade him?
Yeah.
He didn't get anything for him?
Yeah. And I was like, a piece of trivia for anyone who's listening right now. So the ironic part about that game is that the very last game ended with the very same score.
Oh, yeah.
31-0. Somebody, okay, we don't have any prizes to give it out, do we? No, it'll be like pride. Okay, who was the defensive player who got the last interception of that regular season against the Buffalo Bills
to
against
seal it?
Drew Bledsoe. Yes, to seal it. Who was the defensive player?
I think they showed it last night, I think.
Who was? Do you remember who it was?
No, I don't remember who it was.
Anybody? Spaz? Nobody? Nobody?
They showed it last night,
I'm not going to get it.
No, it was in the end zone.
It was in the end zone,
in the
yes.
end zone. Because yeah. I remember, I just forget who, I forget
yes.
who.
Somebody, who did it. I'll tell you the answer when we come back, once we reset, okay? Because we got Nick Costas coming up at, what,
5:30? Oh, I know this guy.
5:30.
Okay, no, don't, wait, I want to see if we, wait, can you give me 6 minutes?
Can I give a hint?
No hints.
No hints. Give it to us during
the
break.
The hint would be
I saw this
easy.
Thing last today. Last night.
Who
I
was the
I
linebacker?
I didn't realize that it was the interception in the end zone that made it 31-0 and the game was over.
The linebacker who got the last interception. Stop answering it. Don't take any calls either.
All right, no calls.
Don't take any calls.
And by the way, speaking of Mike Vrabel, I want to get into Mike Vrabel as well. Right. We'll dive into this Titans game. Mike Vrabel, as well as a little bit of Mac Jones discussion. But will Mike Vrabel be the new head coach, or the next head coach, I should say, of the New England Patriots? We'll do it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.